Welcome back, Dodeca Dorks. We're the 12-sided guys. We've got Scott as Corum Roxel.
My knives always find their target.
Ooh, I like that.
So dark, so mysterious.
Sabrina as Dove.
Yo, dude, what's up?
Oh, I like that. And Matt as Miska the dwarf.
Bleh.
Oh, no.
Nailed it. And me, Jordan, as a creepy wax simulacra of Paul. If you're as confused as I am right now, then you're in the right place. Our beloved leader and DM, Paul, is taking a well-earned vacation, and so I've decided to steal the hot seat for this evening's entertainment. I promise it won't involve drinking or distilling urine. Wink. Anyways,
it's actually just going to be a farm simulator, but you're in like sample collector.
Oh, beautiful. No, we're going to be manufacturing bleach in the medieval world, and you use
that's
urine.
Right. We're whitening fabric. That's all. That's fine. Anyways, we sure hope you're enjoying all of this delicious, mostly urine-free content we're putting out for you.
If It'd you be more so delicious if it had more urine.
You know, it could have a little spicy, a little
tangy.
That this is someone's first episode and they just get all of these urine jokes.
Oh, we can only hope. If you feel so inclined, please drop us a like, throw in a comment, skip a referral over to a friend to give us a listen, or boomerang over to the 12sidedguys.com and javelin some merch. After that, you could slingshot your way over to our Patreon at patreon.com/12sidedguys to help support us lovable nerds as we try our hand at such thrilling and exciting things as alliteration, onomatopoeia, hyperbole, and general buffoonery.
Yep.
Anyways, if you once fell down a pit trying to get super missiles only to struggle for 3 hours to wall jump back to safety, then this podcast is for you. This is Chorus of the Forsaken, Tales of Via Severia, Book 1, The Necro Purge of Luxania.
That's a long title.
This is a long title.
Those stupid little goat guys made it look so easy.
Didn't they? It's ridiculous. It was Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those video game references we haven't done yet, which I was always like, oh, that was a core game for me. It was like Link to the Past, Final Fantasy, Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah. That game was so good.
The Necro Purge of Luxania. As our intrepid party of Wilhelm and associates leaves Redlim, we find our characters kind of sitting around the campfire, regaling one another with stories. Looking at the past, Mogrim starts to tell a story of his own, really a story he heard through others in particular. Now, this story takes place also in Via Severia, but it takes place 20 years ago. And far to the southeast, in the barony of Luxania. Luxania, bordering the warm Mariseth Sea to the south, and nestled against the jagged eastern mountains, is a heavily wooded region. The people of Luxania, a hardy mix of humans, elves, dwarves, and most other races of the land, have gleaned much of their livelihood and wealth from the abundant timber of the region. But things have turned dark for the people of Luxania as of late. Strange tales have begun to emerge, rumors of the dead rising from their graves, and small towns, villages, and hamlets throughout the great Luxanian forest have gone quiet. Refugees have begun to arrive in greater numbers in the port city of Bergevin to the south, and even up to the capital of Mirlov to the northwest. It was here, just outside of Mirlov, that the central command of the Krahanesti Inquisitorial Battalion was stationed. Hundreds, maybe thousands of Inquisitors call this place their home, as the Inquisition launches its crusades into the far reaches of the kingdom. As word reached the High Command of the strange happenings of Luxania, a cry rose up among the Inquisitors and followers of Vayona. Magic was bad, but necromancy? Something had to be done. Gathering their best and brightest, the High Command of the Krahanesti Battalion selected some 50 soldiers to be the tip of the spear on this new mission, to purge Luxania of the evil necromancers. You three were selected as part of this special crusade.
We're the sheath on the tip of the spear.
Oh, man, I love it.
So it doesn't cut.
So you take us off before you get into battle and we just get, like, set aside.
That's right. So why don't we get some intros from some of our characters or for some of our players? Tell us a little bit about your character you'll be playing.
I can go first. Let me get my voice prep really quick. Blah, blah, blah. My name is Miska, and I am a dwarven inquisitor. I am a Nighthawk of the Krahenest. I am a trailblazer and a pathfinder and other models of SUVs.
A Tacoma,
yes. I don't know. Explorer, bleh. Yes, I am a dwarf, and I still wear all of the normal blacks of the Inquisition of the Krahenest. Mine is more travel-worn and more built for rugged living because I spend most of my time trailblazing, pathfinding, etc. And I have dark hair with salt and pepper, and unlike most dwarves, I have a well-trimmed beard, very short, and otherwise I cannot keep it inside of my bird mask. Which is unsanitary when I'm dealing with plagues. That's Miska. Me.
Love it. All I can think of, I'll be honest, when you say Miska, I immediately think of
Miska, Muska, Mickey Mouse. My daughter said that when I said, hey, I'm playing a new character named Miska. And she's like Mickey Mouse.
No.
I didn't watch enough TV with you guys.
Is that like a Mickey Mouse Clubhouse thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't know. No, I've never seen it. I've only, you know.
Isn't that theme song, the hot dog, is that hot dog, hot diggity dog?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that by They Might Be Giants?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. I think it might be, actually.
I sing that to my kids every time I make hot dogs.
I love that.
Who else would like to tell us about their character?
All right. Well, hey, guys. I'm Dov. I started in the Krahenest because I was getting into trouble. Kept punching people. Most of them deserved it. But finally, my dad was like, yo, Dov, you gotta shape up. So if you're gonna punch people, go do it for justice. So I joined up, and here I am. I'm here to slap and kick anybody who dares use magic around me.
I love the idea of somebody that just comes in to slap people.
As far as my vibe goes, you know, I'm young at heart. I think age is just a number. But I would say I'm about 40 if I had to put a number on it.
Your dad just kicked you out.
My hairline is hanging on. as is my goatee, and also I do have to keep it kind of short, which is a bummer. It used to be much longer, but again, you got to keep it under this mask. Yeah, so that's Dov.
Can I just say that when Sabrina first shared in the chat that she was playing this character Dov, she spelled it out as Dave, and I was just expecting us to have all these fantasy characters and Dave.
Sounds about right, though. Paul always pulls in, like, a random normal name.
Love it. All right, Scott.
I'll be playing Corum Roxel. Corum was a member of the Vantorians. That's the tattoo ones, right?
Yes.
The monster hunter ones, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Corum is a Vantorian. She came to join the Inquisition in the Krahenest because fighting monsters and things that aren't natural is part of what the Vantorians do. So I'm sure there's a couple of others from their order
in the mix as well. Probably wouldn't be uncommon for them to help out for this sort of thing. She's a half elf, tattoos covering her face, kind of like flame motifs, you know, tattoos on her forehead, all down her cheeks, long brown hair, tied up in like kind of a messy bun, and, you know, strands hanging down. She doesn't like keep herself like, she's not trying to like look pretty. She just ties it up to be functional, and then strands fall out as she goes throughout the day.
So it just looks hot naturally.
Exactly. Exactly.
Classic.
Yep.
Man, story of my life.
She's not used to the plague mask. She's still getting used to that, but you know, she's trying to fit in. Oh, no visible weapons on her person.
Ooh. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. So you three, in addition to some 40 something other soldiers, have been kind of selected as particularly skillful and resourceful, and have been selected to, you know, go on this expedition down to Loxania. So you set off for this expedition out of Mirlof, which, while you're looking at the map, and for those that are curious, we're looking at the map of Via Severia, which can be found if you are in our Patreon cohort through our Legend Keeper and through the wiki. But in the central area near the tip of the Siren Valley is the capital of Mirlof. Heading straight east of there, you march for some time along the roads and then cross over open ground towards the Pythrian wetlands, where once you hit the lake, you're able to start taking river barges down the river all the way down until you get to Torin Bay or near Torin Bay. Before you reach Bergevin, which is the city at the mouth of the river, you depart from and disembark from the river and start heading due east towards the Great Loxanian Forest. This entire journey takes some time, months, to get all the way down through the riverlands, marching across the open ground, resupplying periodically until you could get there. We are now in early spring. The flowers are beginning to bloom. There are buds on the trees, but there is still a coolness in the air. The ground is still wet with mud and with melting snow and with the rainfalls that come as you begin to move your way east towards the Loxanian Forest. You arrive on the outskirts of the forest at a relatively modest town of Yew Springs. The lieutenant commander of this squadron has pulled you three into his tent along with two other individuals, Inquisitor Rawl and Paladin Torana. And he's going to kind of brief you a little bit on the situation. So as you walk into his tent, he says, "There's a small hamlet some 3 days north and east of here called Willow Bend. There's been no word of the people for roughly a week. But honestly, it's the freshest lead we have in terms of some strange occurrence. And we need to gather leads anywhere that we can. We're going to have you go to Willow Bend and find anything you can about what's happened, where the enemy came from, what their motives may be, if they have any, and anything that you can learn about the people of Willow Bend. Any undead that you encounter or any resistance that comes up, you're authorized to put down with extreme prejudice as you see fit. We have a local, a low-ranking nobleman, Lord Cavalon, who is traveling with his family. He hails from Willow Bend. He and his retinue will accompany you on this mission. We expect you back within the week." Following this short briefing, you gather your supplies and you head north towards the town or the road that will lead you into Willow Bend. And for 2 days, you travel north along the edge of the forest until you reach the Willow Bend Forest Road. Turning eastward toward the heart of the Great Forest, you arrive at a clearing after marching for some hours, and you begin to set up camp as dusk is rapidly approaching. There's yet a few more hours of travel before you arrive at Willow Bend itself.
How was my cartography skills going? Was I following pretty much what you were describing?
That was great.
Oh my gosh, I totally thought Jordan was doing that. That's so impressive.
I did too. I thought that was Jordan.
No, yeah, that was legit. I loved that.
The undead will be a new opponent for my crossbow, Gila 2.
Gila 2?
Gila? Like a Gila monster?
No, Gila. Gila, it is the name. Gila 2. She's named after Gila, my old crossbow.
Oh, this is Gila 2. Oh my god.
That's so great.
I got good old lefty and righty here. That's all I've ever needed.
Lefty and righty. All right, I'm going to sign these over to you guys.
Bleh. Got to keep that accent going.
The accent of bleh.
Bleh, bleh, bleh. Yeah, it's my Dracula impression. I'm sorry. I was trying to think, what does Mogrim sound like? So, yeah, it's my best.
Oh, I probably need to enable vision.
Oh, yeah, and I have night goggles, so yes, dark vision for me.
I've also got 60 feet of dark vision.
And I am a dwarf. I also have 60 feet. Bleh.
I thought you only had 2 feet.
Oh, he's a centipede dwarf.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
Gross. I'm a centipede.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, that's horrifying and amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody put that into, like, one of the AI-generated part things.
Centipede.
Gross.
I love it.
Yes, and I'm digging the black and white tokens.
Thank you. So let's do a quick little intro for some of those ones. So this is Inquisitor Rawl. He's kind of a scout, if you will, as well. More of like a ranger type for the Inquisitorial Scout Squad. And then here you have Paladin Tirana, who is a Paladin of Aona. And then over here on the side to show you the Cavalon family, we have Lord Cavalon.
Oh man, he looks like he needs to be slapped.
This is Lady Cavalon.
Oh, she looks like she needs to be slapped too, but in a much different way.
Oh, she looks like Charlize Theron.
A little bit. She's got a little bit of that going on, right? And here we have, this is Dexter Cavalon, their teenage son. He's some 14 years old.
He looks like a child. We have no comment.
Yes. Right. Probably needs to be slapped, though.
We only comment on old women, apparently, not children.
Right. Hot women.
Wait, is this going to be the first like character Sabrina plays this season that doesn't want to actively kill children?
I guess we're going to find out, right? This is Corwin Cavalon, their 12-year-old son. And here you have Charity Cavalon, their 6-year-old daughter.
Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah, she looks like she could, like, have a Victorian ghost inhabiting her, though. Kind of sus.
I know, right? We also
I don't want anybody to think I'm above or below killing children in this game.
Nice. We also have a couple of the guards from Willowbend. These are kind of like the retinue for Lord and Lady Cavalon and their family. They're just your basic kind of town guard type folks. Here you are in this encampment along the road. So there are 4 tents kind of along the southern side of the road with, at this point, kind of a large coal bed of where the bonfire was. There's a couple torches outside of the tents. And there is a stream that's running alongside the roadbed with a log kind of crossing that stream. It's dark. Dusk has really begun to set. The sun really set just moments ago, and there's just that lingering bit of evening light in the air as you guys are kind of breaking and getting ready for camp.
I will approach Lord Cavalon and I'll say, I have not traveled these roads before. How many more miles, how many more days travel to your home?
Oh, we're only a few more miles, really, down the road, but with it being dark, you know, we're looking at a good 3 or 4 hours left of travel ahead of us, even if it were daytime. And so we figured we might as well take camp here and then do the rest of the journey in the safety of the light of day.
Does this look like it's a place that's fairly frequently a campsite? Or is this kind of like we just found a wide spot in the road?
Why don't you roll an insight check for me?
Could I roll a survival or a nature check instead?
You could do either of those. Yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Boop. That's a 24 survival.
100%. You can already see spots where the ground has been flattened and cleared for other tents. You can see other like places where there's ash or charcoal that's been scattered from other tent sites that have been set up in this area. This looks like it's a fairly common breaking point for people traveling into the forest.
All right, I'll start scouting the perimeter.
Dave will come with you and help.
Oh, so it is Dave.
Or, sorry. You guys have said it so much, Dob. Dob will come with you and help, man. You got to check it out.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, how about this? How about you guys give me a perception or investigation check?
That's a 21 for Miska on perception.
On perception.
Dob got a nat 20 because he's cool like
that. Whoa.
Nice. Corum got a 13 on perception.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Well, so for Miska and for Dav, with your high above 20 scores on your perception, here's what I'll say. You notice that the forest is still. It's very quiet. That's not uncommon for this time of year. And for this time of day, as we're kind of entering into dusk, but given that it is spring, you would have expected more birds. You'd have expected a little bit more activity. Even the beginnings of having some insects begin to bother you. And you notice that there's none of that. Furthermore, with that type of a perception score, looking at the roadway, looking at the campsite area, you would expect this to be fairly well trod. The ground is a little bit moist from rainfalls and from the melting of snow, and yet you don't see what looks like fresh or even moderately fresh tracks for wagons or even for footprints. They all seem quite old, maybe even weeks or even a month old at this point. It doesn't seem like anybody's been through here in a while, and the forest feels far more still and devoid of life than it ought to.
This time of year, you'd think that more animals would be twitterpated and humping, but it's too quiet.
It's quiet. It's too quiet.
That's right. You'd expect more of these animals, you know, to be going at it or something. I don't know.
I have seen Bambi. I know that animals come out and hump in the spring.
That's right.
I believe it was called Thumping. Thumper was the character.
Oh my god.
I was just about to say, I'm like, why else have a character named Humper?
I will say to my colleagues here, I'll say, it looks like there has not been anybody down this road in perhaps a month. How long has it been since the Lord's family has been to his town?
I'm not sure.
I think that's a good question. It seems like if this road is less traveled, man, maybe there's a reason for it, yo.
I feel a bit uneasy. The lack of animals kind of puts me on edge.
It just means that we have more trail rations for dinner tonight instead of a brace of conies.
A brace of conies.
I think we should maybe ask the Lord if he knows, or maybe ask his lady wife, if you know what I mean, if she knows why this road would be less traveled, because...
I don't know what you mean, Dav.
Miska just puts his hands together and says, Dear Lord. Oh,
dear.
You mean the other Lord over there.
I just got that. Oh, my God.
Dove, if you want to speak with her, you can. She's a bit too skinny for my likings.
All right, well, Dove's going to mosey on up then to this this woman of the house and say, excuse me, miss, ma'am, m'lady?
Yes, good sir. How can I help you?
I was just noticing, not trying to say anything offensive here, but it doesn't look like there's been a lot of people on this road. When was the last time you traveled back home?
Oh, well, I mean, it's been quite some time. We don't typically winter in Willow Bend. It's just, the winters are a little bit rough out here, so we typically will winter, we'll go to our winter home in the south and in the city, and we'll stay there.
I think I hate them.
Are most of the residents snowbirds? Is that why it hasn't been traveled?
Oh, no, I mean, most of them are just quite provincial. They're, you know, they subsist really on the lumber mill that's just outside of town. And, you know, they have wonderful craftsmen and carpenters. Some of their furniture is just exquisite. You know, we're able to, you know, use some of that to sell for quite a nice price in the city. And my family helps to facilitate those transactions.
Nice middleman, dude. Taking money off the top. Classic.
I don't know what a middleman is, but he sounds lovely.
Well, thanks for the info, miss. I don't know. I'd keep your head on the swivel if I was you. I got a bad feeling about this. Although that could just be the sausages I ate last night.
Oh, a bad feeling? Oh, I mean, well, yes, I suppose everything's been a little bit strange here lately, but I think we're going to be just fine, and especially with a strapping young man such as yourself to help guard us and protect us. I mean, well, how could we have anything to worry about at all?
Isn't Dav, like, older than her?
Hell yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm not strapping and young.
You get the sense that she's the kind of person that will call, even, like, if they are people that are of lower station or rank than her, and even if they're, like, elderly, like, in their 60s or 70s, she'll call them young man and young woman and stuff like that. Like, it's...
Oh, she's a bitch.
Kind of patronizing, condescending, yeah.
Well, Dav, it's wonderful to meet you. I need to get these children to bed, though. I don't want them to stay awake too late and end up getting sick or something.
With that, she starts to step away and takes her small daughter, Charity, in her arms and says,
"Come, Charity. Corwin, Dexter, let's get set up in the tent."
Dav will kind of go back to the group and kind of just relay, basically, that kind of seems like they just come in during the summer, take advantage of the lumber and the hard work of the townsfolk, and then export that to the city in the winters.
Yeah, that sounds pretty normal for a feudal society like ours.
It seems pretty reasonable, so...
I think I hate them.
Anyway, they haven't been here in a minute, I guess, is what I'm saying, so I don't think they're going to be of much help. Plus, she didn't seem that bright. She called me young. Idiot.
But you are young.
Yes, you humans are so short-lived.
All right, let's work out who's going to be doing the watches tonight.
At that point, Inquisitor Rawl approaches Dav, standing here, and he's like, "Good evening."
"What's up, Inquisitor, my man?"
"So I know that we have a handful of guards here to help us with the watch this evening, but we were thinking that perhaps we could go in groups. We could have one of us, like me and Paladin Tirana, could go first, or the Willowbend guards could go first, or something of that nature. Do you have any preferences?"
"I mean, I'm cool with whatever, man. I know."
I love that Dav is officially now the leader of our small party.
I think that was a crime of opportunity. Dav was the closest to him at the moment.
"All I know is this place, I'm not going to get much sleep here. So you tell me where I need to be and I'll be on lookout like a viper."
Paladin Tirana walks up as well at this point. And she says,
"Greetings, faithful.
Aeona keep you?"
"Da."
"So."
"And Aeona keep you as well. And Aeona is what is up, as is the just."
"Amen to that, brother. Amen."
I don't know about you three, but I don't have very good feelings about this place. I think it'll be important for multiple people to be on watch at any given time. I don't see why we can't, you know, divide the duties, though, between ourselves and the Willowbend guards. Do you have a preference on which order you would like to go in?"
"Well, I think I'd like the Willowbend guards to intermix with one of our Krahanest homeboys. I don't think they should go on together, just for safety of everybody."
I think I need space from Dav. I volunteer.
Rude, but all right. You're going to have a whole long life out there without me, apparently, so.
Dav, do you want to take the first watch?
Yeah, I can do that.
I will watch with you.
I could watch you, too.
Oh, my. Well, you are a familiar bunch, aren't you?
We have traveled together for 2 months now on the road. I feel like I understand Dav.
Well, yes, I was with you.
To be fair, I don't think there's much to understand about Dav.
He seems like a pretty straightforward kind of guy, you know?
Not a lot going on behind those eyes.
Yeah, once you've met Dav, you've met Dav. I mean, what more can be said about that?
Well, very well then. So it looks like you, Miska, and Dav will go first.
Let's do it. I want to be able to sleep in the morning if I'm able to get any Z's.
Yeah, I prefer to get full night sleep. Bleh.
Sorry, I keep losing the voice.
And Corim, what was your preference?
I have no preference. I don't need to sleep very long, so I could watch the first shift and perhaps the last shift.
Ah, very well. Well, perhaps we'll have you three go first. I'll have Raoul and I will take the middle watch, and then we'll have the Willowbend guards take up the final watch of the evening.
With Corm, right? I think we should have one of our guys be there at that final watch.
I'll be awake for it. I only need to sleep for 4 hours.
Okay. Raoul, let's go get some rest ourselves. And with that, Paladin Tirana and Raoul head into their tents.
I'll head up to Dav and I'll say, Dav, I was fully expecting you to say, when they were talking about what is up, to say, dog is up.
Why would I say that?
Because you are always saying, what is up, dog?
You've talked about this dog that's up somewhere these last
2 months. No, I am asking the dog, what is up? Look, I don't know why I'm copying your accent. I'm asking the dog, what is up, man? I'm not... It's you gotta be in the dog's mind, dude. I'm asking the dog to look up and say, what's up? What's above you, man?
I still am unsure where is this dog.
Well, see, I can't teach you that. That's just something you gotta feel in your heart, bud.
Feel the dog in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Miska will go and meditate on this.
Yeah, Corim will climb that, we'll test if that like rotten looking tree is climbable, and we'll do her watch up in the branches with a little vantage.
Ooh, nice. Okay. I like that. With you guys all doing your watches, the Willowbend guards go ahead and take their leave and crawl into their tent, and the Cavalon family go ahead and enter their tent, as well as the other Inquisitors, and the night commences. Let's go ahead and have you guys make a survival check as a group, but with advantage. So what that'll mean is everybody can roll and with advantage, and we will take the highest score for the group to determine how this shakes out.
Wow, that's spoiling us.
Miska rolled a 25.
Jeez.
I know.
Corim only rolled a 23. I didn't get your 25.
Dav got a 12.
Nice. Okay, perfect. The night begins to move forward. The stillness and the quiet of the forest feels thick. It feels heavy. You're not used to a forest or woodland like this feeling so still. There's the slight gurgle of the stream as it rushes past you, but that's the only sound except for the occasional muddled snoring of one of the Willowbend guards. You notice that there are no stars in the sky tonight. There must be a layer of clouds, and so the darkness and the stillness of the forest seem more heavy and oppressive as a result of it.
So glad I brought these goggles.
And with that, We will go ahead and say that your watch, though, passes uneventfully at this point.
Okay. I was already with one of the magic items I chose is a drift globe, kind of like how Pine had his red candle, except for mine's a blue candle.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
The night has grown dark, and you guys retire to your tents at this point. And Inquisitor Rawl and Paladin Tirana go ahead and stand up for their watch. Here's what I'd like you guys to do. If you guys could make each of you a perception check, that would be great.
Corum got a nat 20 for a 24.
Nice.
Holy crap. You guys are like rolling really well tonight.
Miska got a 21. To be fair, Miska actually has expertise in all the skills we've rolled so far. So he hasn't really been rolling great, but he's just been getting high numbers.
I mean, that's still amazing.
Well, Dov got an 18.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. Partway through your watch, as you're in your tent, you hear a sound coming from outside. It sounds like with that high of a perception score, Corum, you know that, well, and I guess Miska too, you both got over 20. Well, gosh, and even Dov got an 18. Okay, I'm going to say all of you guys can pick this out. You hear the sound of crying, and it sounds like it's coming from the woods to the north of the stream.
I told you that bitch was possessed by a Victorian ghost child.
You mean the child?
Yeah.
Or were we still talking about dogs? I don't follow you very well.
Right. Is now the dog a bitch?
That's the big question, man.
And is that what's up?
Maybe we should be one of the ones up and going to investigate the crying child.
All right.
So with your perception checks, you can tell that the crying you're hearing is not a child's cry.
Oh, well, it's fine. I'm just kidding. Is it human?
Is it just a cat? Sometimes cats sound like babies crying.
I've heard tell of monsters that imitate the cries of people to lure in prey.
Yeah, like Victorian ghost childs.
Well, I was thinking more of like creatures and beasts, aberrations, that sort of thing. Not ghost children.
Regardless, if there is the sound of a crying child, we should probably see that it is not threatening the camp.
All right. Well, I'll follow you.
All right. So I'll have you guys do this. Why don't you step outside of your tent?
Which one was ours?
The one on the far left, the westernmost tent. Yeah. Now, you guys all have dark vision then, right?
Yeah, with my goggles.
I'm so creeped out.
Wait, do we see something?
I can see something at the very edge of vision.
Oh. Yeah, I can too.
From this distance, it's difficult to make out exactly, although you can probably discern it through the virtual tabletop. But you can see two figures, but they're standing strangely apart from each other, some 15 feet apart from each other, along the edge of the forest on that northern end. And you notice that their backs are turned towards you and they are facing the woods, both of them. And there is a gentle sobbing coming from one of them.
Jeez. All right, let's go figure what's wrong with these people. That looks like people from our camp, right?
It could be.
Let's be about it.
Looks like the rich folks to me.
Shall we approach stealthily?
I'd be happy to. I prefer that, actually. Except I rolled a nat 1 and got an 8.
Oh, man.
I got an 18.
I got a 20. Or Dov got a 20.
Okay. Because of the nat 1, they both turn to you, and you see Lord and Lady Cavalon standing here. Why don't you stop there on the at the log?
Okay. I actually would have let Dov go first, because I'm a ranged fighter.
All right, that works.
Corum can go first, too. She can wade into the fray. Or, you know, she's ranged and melee.
Dog likes to be up close and personal with his hits.
He likes to punch and slap and kick.
So you hear this sobbing, this gentle kind of sobbing, and it's coming from who appears to be Lady Cavalon. She looks up and she sobs gently and she says, "There's still time. There's still time to save them, right?"
My lady, what happened?
And at that, she then begins to scream.
She's hysteric. Let's lobotomize her.
Oh, jeez. Let's slap some kids and lobotomize strong-willed women.
Is that why you have that pick in your backpack?
Jeez.
Don't worry about it, dude. Let's just say drywall wasn't the only thing Dov is punching.
Wait, is that why he got kicked out of the house? It's because he put too many holes in the drywall in his dad's house?
Exactly.
Blay.
And at that point, you see that she says,
"Oh, Jesus Christ.
It might not be too late for my children, but it's too late for you." And she turns to you and fangs begin to kind of protrude from her jaw as it opens unnaturally large. Her skin immediately begins to sink in and turn sallow, and her eyes turn this ghostly white. Her hair becomes thin and wispy, and Lord Cavalon begins to cackle maniacally as he likewise begins to grow these large fangs, and his hair begins to look disheveled, and this necrotic energy starts to erode his flesh.
"I'm very sorry. I was not making fun of your whole thing here, being vampires and all. I promise this is my real accent." Blay.
You monster.
He looks just like, the sire from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, totally.
Nice. And with that, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Corum got a 12.
Nice.
Miska got a 16.
Dav got a 14.
Perfect. We are in initiative, and so at the top of the round, we have Lord Cavalon. He has fully succumbed to whatever this dark energy is himself, and is going to go and rush towards you all right now. I believe he is too far away to make it to any one of you, so he will take his dash action to try to get as close as possible next to Dov. And with that,
he's within 5 feet of me, so I'm going to use my reaction to move away 15 feet without drawing an attack of opportunity.
Oh, interesting.
So I'll move up to the further west, still along. So we're along a river here. I'm along the riverbank, but I have put more distance between myself and both the Lord and Lady.
Okay, I like it. All right, and with that, we will go to Miska's turn.
All right, so now that Miska's moved somewhere safe, I'm going to go ahead and just stand still. There's an ability called Steady Aim, so if I don't move, I can use my bonus action to give myself advantage on my attack. So I'm going to go ahead and give myself advantage on my first attack, and I'm going to shoot a crossbow bolt at Lord Cavalon from Ilatu. And that would be a 23 to hit.
23 will hit.
That does 11 piercing damage and 15 precision damage for 26 total.
Holy cow. Okay.
Wow, that's good.
That's a big hit. All right.
That's what I do. One attack, and if I miss, well, that's my turn.
Oh, actually, that's piercing damage, right?
It is piercing. It's also a magical crossbow.
It is magical. Okay. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to do?
That was everything I got.
Nice. All right. We will go to Dov then.
All right. This is going to shock you guys, but Dov is going to do an unarmed strike.
What?
And he's going to smack the out of this dude for 25 to hit.
Nice.
Holy cow. Yeah, that'll definitely hit.
Nice.
I thought you've been talking about hitting the woman, not the man. You said you kept wanting to hit it. I'm confused.
When it comes to vampires, yo, you just gotta punch whatever's in front of you, dude. Don't discriminate. That's weird.
That is what it says in the handbook for dealing with vampires.
It does. So the first strike did 9 damage, and the second strike was an 8 to hit.
The 8 will definitely not hit. Now, do your fists count as magical weapons yet?
Yes.
They do. Okay.
They do.
Good to know.
Also, it really freaked me out to hear your voice answer my question instead of Paul's. That was, weirdly, it felt wrong. Sorry.
That's a violation. It's straight up a violation.
No,
I get it. Yeah.
I feel like I'm cheating on my brother.
It's more just my mind wasn't prepared for it. Okay, cool. So then that's not going to hit, but I am going to use my Fury of Blows and hit again. Cha. So that's a 21 to hit.
Nice.
That'll hit.
For 5 damage.
Okay.
And then a 14.
The 14 will not hit.
Okay. And then so for the one that did hit, he does, I'm going to attempt to make him fall prone. So he's going to make a DC 13.
Ooh, okay. DC 13 strength save.
Sorry, dex.
Dex save. Okay. So he rolled an 11.
Nice.
So he is prone. Let me change that up. There's got to be a good symbol for prone, right?
There's like the skull one that's like when they're dead. That's a good one.
That's a solid one, yeah.
Or just the one that puts an X through their token.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put that little symbol, the little like person crouching down symbol.
Cool.
The lower back pain one. That's what I
lower back pain. Extreme lower back pain.
That's exactly what I looked like when my sciatica flared up.
Oh man.
That might be the most we're old statement that's been said this evening.
Oh man. It hurt so bad I almost threw up.
Ugh, it'll get you, dude. It'll get you.
All right. Dav, is there anything else you can do?
Nah, that's it.
All right, Corum, it is your turn.
All right, Corum's going to run the rest of the way along the log and move around to the other side of Dav, to the other side of Cavalon. And she's going to attack with her dagger. And since the dude is prone, with advantage, right?
Yes, indeed.
And it is a +1 dagger.
Nice. Okay.
So the first one is a 25 to hit.
Nice.
Hit. That will do 9 piercing damage.
You guys are just straight smoking these fools right now. Keep going.
And the second one is also a 25 to hit.
Man.
Yes. Nice, Dean.
For another 7 piercing damage.
Can I just say, if we could only roll this well during our normal campaign.
And then she's gonna come with her offhand with her second dagger. And she has the two weapon fighting feat, so she gets to add her bonus to this as well. For a nat 20.
Oh, jeez.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh.
For 6 piercing and then 9 critical, so 15 total. Did that math right? That seems high.
1d4 plus 5?
Yeah.
Roll to 4? Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So 15 total on that one. And that is Corum's turn.
Jeez. He is looking brutalized. You guys have just been beating the tar out of this guy. And where there once was blood that you would expect to see, it is instead a darker, blacker ichor that is seeping out of these wounds, cuts, and gashes that are now prolific across his body. With that, we go to Lady Cavalon's turn. Lady Cavalon stands about 30 feet away, and she rushes forward to attack at you, Corum. She gets 2 attacks here, so her first one is going to be a claw type of an attack. So a 9 to hit.
A 9 will miss.
Dang.
Oh, thank goodness.
And then lunging forward, Lady Cavalon tries to bite you. A 20 to hit.
A 20 will hit.
Okay. So this will do 7 piercing damage plus 6 necrotic damage. And your hit points are reduced by the 6 necrotic damage.
Not these guys.
Okay.
She again says, I said there's still a chance to save them, but it's too late for you. And then with that, we go to...
Are you saying you want us to save them? Then let us go save them.
I don't think there's any reasoning with this crazy lady right now. We get to Lord Cavalon's
turn. Told you we should have lobotomized her.
Yeah.
I'll do it with my crossbow next round.
So for Lord Cavalon, you see these wounds and this black ichor and all these cuts, and you notice that some of them begin to close up on his body. And he is going to go ahead and make an attack at, let's say, odds, it's Dav, and evens, it's Corum. So even, so he is going to actually attack. He'll use his movement to stand up from his prone position, and he will go ahead and make 2 attacks at Corum. So the first attack with his claws, a 16 to hit.
16 is my AC.
Okay.
Heck.
So that will do...
He lulled us into a false sense of security, guys.
Yeah. That'll do 6 damage, and then he will also... Oh, you know, I'm reading through the stuff here, and it looks like in order to do the bite attack, I have to have grappled one of you first.
It's too late.
Yeah, let's say this. Let's say that she did hit you, but let's not have it reduce your maximum.
My max? Okay.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, to grapple, does that take the place of both attacks, or can one of the attacks be a grapple attack?
Sometimes, like, the attack description on monsters will say, if this hits, you are grappled.
Yeah, but typically, if it's a player character, it's one of the attacks if you have multiple attacks when you take the attack action.
Got it. So, this guy has clawed out at you with his first attack. His second one will be a grapple attack, basically. Which will be just his, I think, just a strength, contested strength. Is that the way to do it?
Unless the monster stat block has an athletics specifically spelled out skill, then you just use the strength, yeah.
Okay, cool. We will do that then. So he rolls a 12 on his strength check to try to grapple you, Corum.
I rolled a 9, and then that would have been plus 4 for acrobatics. That would be 13.
Okay. So he lunges to grapple you, but you deftly are able to maneuver out of the way and kind of slip away from his grasp and are able to avoid the grapple. So we will then now go to Miska's turn.
All right, Miska's going to reload Hila 2, do a steady aim again, and shoot with advantage. It's a 26 to hit.
Who are you shooting?
I'm at Lord Cavalon.
Okay.
5 piercing damage and 9 precision damage for 15 or for 14.
Woohoo! He is looking very rough right now.
That is my whole turn.
Okay. All right. Dav, up to you.
You know what Dav's gonna do, guys. He's coming in swinging.
Is Dav gonna have to slap a bitch?
He's gonna have to slap a bitch. Well, he's actually gonna come back in at the Lord here, and that's gonna be a 13 to hit, which doesn't hit.
Yep, that will not.
Heck, and that's a 12 to hit, and then yeah, we're gonna Fury of Blows it. Okay, so that is a 22 to hit.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, that will hit.
So that'll do 6 damage, and then can I have him make a strength saving throw, and can I like push him into the river?
Yeah.
Because it says, with the open hand technique, it says if he fails a strength throw, it's up to 15 feet. I feel like that's close enough.
Yeah, I think you know, it's like the angle is maybe a little bit off. You guys are fighting side by side, so you'd almost have to, like, leg sweep and shove him back, like, kind of to the side to get him into the river. But yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Okay, so it's a, yeah, it's a strength save DC 13.
All right. Ooh, a 19.
Okay.
So you try to sweep the leg, but he's got kind of an iron stance and you just connect with his leg.
All right. Well, then I will at least hit him one more time for 6 damage.
All right,
Dob. You rolled 22 and 6 damage twice in a row.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Classic.
All right, Dob, tell me what that looks like.
Oh, s***. Well, so Dob went in. Dob went in, did a punch, kind of missed a couple, but did a punch, and then tried to sweep the legs and shove him into the river, but kind of tripped on his own legs and then ended up falling on top of him, but still his fist landed right in the dude's face and broke it open. I'm imagining kind of like a Twilight Vampire porcelain style cracking. Dame Aelin, that kind of vibe.
Oh, okay. Dame Aelin, yes, I know her. I do not know the Twilight reference.
You cry, they crack like porcelain. Anyway, yeah.
That is excellent. Okay, so yes, he crumples dead to the ground.
KPI.
Yeah, this black ichor oozes from him. And he is D-E-D dead, as Homer Simpson would say. All right. Next up, it is Corum's turn. Unless there is there anything else you can do, Dov?
I don't think there's anything else Dov needs to do.
Haven't I done enough? Fair enough.
But no, there's nothing else I can do.
Okay.
I'm not getting closer to that crazy bitch. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she can keep hitting my friend.
Nice. Okay, so Corum, it is your turn.
Okay. Corum is going to reach into one of her sleeves and pull out a long, thin needle, about 4 inches long, and she's going to throw it at the lady.
Acupuncture.
I'm calling it paralytic needle. It is the ranger spell that like covers them in vines, but I'm flavoring this as like she's got these needles that she throws, and
I like that
they are paralytic, and so she has to make a strength DC 12 save or be restrained. But I have to hit her with, so this is a bonus action. Now I'm getting the needle ready, and now I'm throwing it.
Got it. Okay.
Does a 22 hit?
A 22 will hit. And I rolled a 7 for the strength save, so it looks like she failed that.
Awesome. So she will be restrained. She'll take 5 piercing damage from the needle that I threw in her. And then while restrained, the target takes 1d6 piercing damage at the start of each of its turns.
Okay.
They can make the creature can use its action to make a strength check again on their turn to get out.
To yank that needle out? Yeah.
Yeah. While restrained, can they attack or do anything else, or is it just...
Yeah, speed is 0. Attacks against them have advantage.
Oh, nice.
And they have disadvantage on dex saves.
Wow, that's a really cool spell. Okay.
Oh, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage.
Nice. Okay. Well, then let's do that then. I guess, is there anything else you can do or that you'd like to do?
Yes, I've got one more attack. And the needle that hit her is non-magical.
Cool.
And then I'll throw my next needle at her for a 24 to hit and another 8 damage. So she keeps these like long needles in her sleeves.
Got it. Now you said those are non-magical?
Yeah, they're darts, but I'm using throwing needles.
Let's be clear, they're knitting needles.
Oh, they're totally knitting needles.
They don't seem to have quite as much impact than as you would have expected those needles to have.
That is my turn.
Okay, so now it goes to Lady Cavalon. You notice that where those other needles had pierced her skin, the skin has begun to already heal up completely from those. To the point where you would imagine that if she were to brush them out of her skin, they would have done nothing to her.
Ooh. But
let's go ahead and roll the damage on that piercing damage for the turn. If you want to roll that 1d6.
She'll take 4 piercing damage.
Got it.
Okay, so she takes that 4 piercing damage. I think she is going to use her action then to remove that needle. Okay. So she'll roll her strength save.
DC 12.
She got a 15, so she's able to pull the needle out and cast it onto the ground. She looks at you and hisses loudly, kind of baring her teeth in her claws. But I think that's all she can do for her turn. So with that, we will go ahead and go to Miska at the top of the round.
Right. Miska's kind of a one-trick pony, I'm learning. Steady aim, shot with Gila 2. That's 2 23s with advantage. And that will do 8 piercing, 5 precision, for a total of 13 magical piercing damage.
Nice.
Nice.
And Miska's just standing right there. His shoes are getting a little muddy, though, because he is a little close to the river. So that's kind of bothering him.
Well, at least, yeah, I guess that at least there's that.
There's the suction that is making it harder to move.
Cool. All right, Dov.
All right, Dov is going to take a step closer to this vampire lady, and this is going to be wild, but he's going to do an unarmed strike.
What?
And that is going to be a 25 to hit, 4 or 5 damage. And then he's coming in again with a 17.
That will hit.
4, 7 damage. And then Fury of Blows in, 13.
That will not hit.
Okay. And then try one more time. That is a 22, 4. 4 damage. But I do want to try to knock her prone. So that's a dex 13.
Dex 13. Okay. And I just found her saving throw for dex, a 23.
Drywall falls harder than vampires, I guess.
So you again walk up and try and trip another vampire, and they again deftly kind of move away from it.
Hey, the first time it worked for me.
They're like, what the heck are you doing? Quit trying to kick my feet.
Wait, was Dov the kind of kid who bought a bunch of like fantasy knives from a magazine and then would throw them into the wall of his room?
I feel called out right now.
He didn't get them from a magazine, dude. He walked down to like the local little shop that had, you know, the strip mall that had like all the little knives. Yeah, he walked down there and got them.
Nice.
I'm feeling
that's
called out
too. That's a low blow, man. Okay.
I feel really called out as well.
Honestly, I also did that. Yeah.
We're all trying to figure out ourselves, okay?
I didn't throw them into the wall. We got this like log in the backyard that we would throw them at anyway.
Okay, yeah.
We would just get I would just get swords. I would just save up my money and go to the strip mall store and go get swords.
Oh man,
I love it. I know that I've found my people when we can talk about buying swords as teenagers. Okay, cool. Well, Dov, is there anything else you wanted to do?
Nope, I think that's it.
Alright, Corum, you're up.
Alright, Corum is gonna pull out her daggers again. She's got 2 of them, and she's attacking with the first one. That's only a 15 to hit.
That will hit.
Oh. That one deals 9 piercing damage.
Okay, which will be halved to 4.
This is magical, though. This is her daggers are magical.
Oh, that's your dagger. Yeah, that's right.
Her throwing needles are not magical.
That's right, yeah.
And then the second hit with her main hand is a 24 for another 8 piercing. And then she's going to come with her offhand for a 19 to hit for another 9 piercing damage.
Wow. That was a bunch of really strong hits. Nice. Okay, anything else you want to do?
That will be her turn.
Okay, very cool. So what I will do at this point, it's Lady Cavalon's turn. She sees that she's faced now with, you know, the two of you immediately, Dov and Corum, right here in close proximity. Miska's some 15 feet away, hurling bolts.
In the mud.
In the mud, standing on the shores. She screams out in frustration. There is no emotion in terms of like the sense of loss that her husband is dead and in a heap on the bank or on the shore of this little stream. She's not concerned at all, it seems, with that. She is furious at you both for fighting her, like almost feral right now. And so what we'll do is we'll say, Odds, Quorum, Evens, Dav. So it's a 3, so
cool.
This
cool.
attack will come at Quorum.
Quorum, dude.
How are you looking, Quorum?
That's what I'm actively trying to avoid, Dav.
Not doing a good job of it.
What is funny is earlier Dav was trying to get by the same one.
This is going to be, the first attack is going to be a grapple attempt.
Okay.
Oh, it's a nat 20 for a 23 on the strength check.
Okay. Quorum got a 15 on her acrobatics.
Okay, so you are grappled. She wraps you into her freakishly strong yet frail looking arms, and she is going to attempt to make her bite attack against you. That's a 9 to try and bite you.
A 9 misses, unfortunately.
Okay, so the 9 misses.
Unfortunately, we don't want you getting bit by a vampire.
Oh, sorry, I was in the moment. She had her arms around me, and
we had a moment.
We've
there.
We've all been there.
I forgot myself.
Can you feel
Nala with those bedroom eyes? Jeez.
Not appropriate for children. It was so intense.
Those bedroom eyes.
I was watching that as a kid, and I was like, maybe I'm a furry.
Super disturbing. Anyway, back to D&D. So she heals a little bit, tries to make those attacks. You know, you're grappled at this point, but that is it for now. And so at this point, we will go to Miska's turn.
I wonder what Miska's going to do.
The suspense.
A 17 to hit for 7 piercing, 11 precision for 18 magic piercing total.
Jeez. That's a strong hit, man. That's really... She is looking very rough right now.
All right, that's my turn.
Man, all right.
I have the fastest turns.
All right, Dav, you're up.
Dav's gonna come in swinging again. And that is a 20 to hit for 4 damage. Coming in again for 16 to hit? Does that
hit? Will hit.
Oh my gosh, nice. Okay, that's 9 damage.
Okay.
And then coming in again for a 22 to hit for 4 damage, but I do want her to make a dex save again.
Well, before we do that, tell me what this looks like.
Oh, I imagine I'm just punching and slapping, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, damn, I did it, guys. Don't worry. I thought it was a little one, but it ended up being the bigger ones.
As you punch and slap and knock this female vampire around, she falls to her knees. And before collapsing, you see light return to her eyes for just a brief moment. The kind of pale, ghostly cast, you know, fades for a split moment as you see clarity regain, at least come back to her conscious mind. And she gasps and she says, please, the children, please save the children. There's still time. And with that, she falls over dead.
You gotta cue the
victory music.
Nice.
Quorum will start beheading them.
Oh, where are the other inquisitors who were supposed to be on watch right now?
I don't know.
I'm gonna go start checking tents.
I'm just saying, again, if we're doing Twilight rules, we gotta break them into a billion different pieces and then burn them.
Well, if we're doing Bram Stoker rules, we have to cut their heads off, fill their mouths with garlic, and stick a stake in their heart.
That seems more traditional. I like that.
They also don't like moving water, so maybe even just throw them in the river.
It clearly wasn't bothering them before.
So, Miska, you go and inspect the tents. The tent for the Willowbend guards is empty. You see a little bit of blood on the inside of the tent, but that's it at this point. There's nothing else. Their gear, like their weapons, are gone as well.
Okay. And the other two Inquisitors that were traveling with us?
Yes. So you walk into the tent and you find Inquisitor Rawl dead. It looks like he's had his throat clawed out of him in his cot. And he is a bloody mess.
Loot the bodies. Just kidding. Loot those just bodies. Sorry.
And there's no sign of the other, the paladin?
Yeah, Paladin Tirana is missing, as are her weapons.
I think that there's a problem. I think maybe... Where's my accent going? Bleh. I think maybe she's with the children in the woods.
Here's what I'd say. Why don't you guys roll an investigation check? You can roll it as a group, or one person could roll with advantage, either way.
Could I roll survival to, like, follow tracks, that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, we can do that.
And undead are one of my favorite enemies, so...
Ooh,
I would have, okay. If tracking undead, I would have advantage on this.
Sure.
But if they're not undead, if I'm just tracking the human lady, you let me know.
I would say this. We're trying to track, you know, who we presume to be living people, right?
Okay.
But because we know that the undead are involved, your senses are heightened right now. You are on peak alert, so okay. I will allow advantage on that.
Cool. So Corum got a 20 on survival. Oh, fine, Mishka.
Jeez.
Not that it mattered. I'm all debating Jordan to get advantage on the roll.
I didn't roll. We're moving on.
He's just saying that because you rolled a 27 on this one. Anyway, so yes, I mean, you guys both rolled very high. Dav, you can see that there's, you know, definitely been a kerfuffle in some of the tents.
I've been busy punching things. I don't got to use my brain.
That's right. But for Corum and especially for Mishka, you can see the tracks in the dirt, fresh because of the softness of the earth right now. And they are fresh and they're heading down the road towards Willow Bend. And you can tell, because of how high your scores are on those, you can tell that people were moving quickly. Like they were in a run heading that direction. And you can see kind of a few drag marks as well, where it looks like maybe somebody or something was kind of dragged at times, but people moved quickly towards the city.
Yeah, dude, we let's hoof it.
Let's cruise as fast as we can.
Okay. It will take moving at a good clip, right? So light jog kind of thing like that. You're still a few miles down the road. It will take you about almost an hour. So if you do want to do a short rest while you're doing this run, I'm not sure if that's allowed under rules, but I'm going to allow it for you guys to be able to rest up prior to getting to the next place.
Cool.
All right, I'm good. So, Scott, is with your with Corum, she's a ranger, right?
Yes, she's a ranger.
Did you give her any of the alternate rules for Tasha's, or is she a straight-up player handbook
ranger? I just did a straight-up player handbook one.
Oh, cool.
She's a hunter.
Oh, nice.
And I gave her the Horde Breaker feat.
Oh, yeah, I love that in Baldur's Gate with my ranger.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
You just got to put some enemies closer together, Jordan.
I know, right? I could have had one extra attack each of those rounds if they were right next to each other.
It is dark and black, and you have entered the city of Willow Bend. There are a few kind of sources of light. There seems to be a smoldering kind of bonfire that's been haphazardly thrown together on one side of the street. There's a few low burnt down torches ensconced on some of the walls that are still burning. You can make out in the distance, because of your dark vision that you all possess, that there's a large tree kind of in the central town square. And around the tree on the ground, you see bodies.
Well, let's set them alight while we're here. I don't want anything coming up at us.
You know, they may not be dead. They may be camping.
Nope, just light them on fire.
We ask questions later, actually.
You can see up ahead Paladin Tirana with her back facing you. And she is near this tree. She's, you know, maybe some 60, 70 feet ahead of you, just on the outskirts of the light from the bonfire. And she is facing the tree. In the hollows of the tree, or in the foreground of the tree, you can see...
I have to kill this tree. I don't mind killing children, but I draw the line when it comes to killing trees.
Scattered around on the ground, you can see bodies. If you guys give me a perception check.
Doc got a 22.
Miska got a 21.
Corum got a 15.
Okay, so for Miska and Dov, you would notice the bodies are of Corwin Cavalon and Dexter Cavalon. You can tell because of their smaller frames. Aww. They lie crumpled in heaps on the ground. You can also see the fallen bodies of the Willowbend guards themselves lying in heaps, their halberds kind of sticking haphazardly up to the side. Floating in the air under the dead tree in the center of town, you see the small child, Charity Cavalon, floating in the sky.
Of course, the child.
Oh, good. I can take care of that.
Her head is twisted and looking up to the sky, and her mouth is open in a noiseless scream. And in a moment, her body falls to the ground and hits the ground, apparently lifeless. But left in that spot, you see this ghostly apparition.
Oh, God. Hell Rider.
Metal.
Why don't you guys give me, like, a arcana or religion check?
I'm an inquisitor, so I'll do religion. These are things I'm not good at.
Forum would also have advantage on int checks to recall information about undead people.
Yes, definitely have advantage on this then.
It didn't matter a ton. Corum got a 13.
Miska got a 6 in religion.
Dov got a 9 in religion.
Miska, you are dumbstruck. You're like, I have no idea what the heck this is. This is crazy.
Victorian ghost child.
Yeah, Dov, likewise, you do not know what this is. You are very confused. Corum, I'm going to say that you remember hearing something about these kind of phantasm-type creatures, and this reminds you of, like, a wraith or a specter, specifically. But which of those two, you're not sure.
Cool.
And Tirana turns to you and says, "You're here! I'm sorry, when I saw that Rahl had been killed... and that the children were missing, I didn't have time to try to rouse you. I just took off after them. I'm so sorry. Thank you for coming. I could use your help here."
Do I think she sounds sincere?
Sus. Yeah, I'm sus.
You can roll
sus.
An insight check on this.
Miska got a 25.
Corum got an 18.
Well, Dov got a 25. Nat
20. Nice. Nat 20 for a 25. She does sound sincere. You can tell that, I mean, as a paladin of Aeona and the scars that she bore on her face, she's not a novice to the Inquisition and fighting different types of magical creatures herself.
Okay.
And she is genuinely shook and acted kind of spontaneously to try to track down or save the children if she could.
Okay.
Yeah, Dov will run forward.
Yeah, so would Corum.
Okay, let's have everybody go ahead and roll some initiative.
Oh yeah, Miska got a 23.
Oh, so did Corum.
Dov got a 26.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Dov, let's go ahead and have you kick this thing off.
All right, I will kick it off. Hit it off, more like. Dov is going to use the dash action to kind of get up towards this tree, and then he will just hang out there for now.
Kill off all the children.
Make sure everybody's dead.
Only if you have to.
I've got the daggers this time so that I can throw them at the children.
Nice.
All right, so we'll go to the next turn then. Miska.
All right, Miska's going to move 25 feet forward. And let me just really quick check the distance now. 60 feet. I think I may be able to get a shot off. Yeah, 80-foot range. So I'm actually going to go ahead and shoot Hela 2 at this apparition.
All right.
That's a... Without advantage, that's a nat 20.
Whoa. Wow. Okay.
So, that is 12 piercing, 10. Is that... Okay. Total damage, total critical.
I know, this was always confusing when I played Rose.
47 damage.
No. No way.
What?
You're joking.
No, look at this.
To the ghost rider?
To the ghost, 47 damage. 22 piercing, 25 critical.
No. Holy cow. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a vicious weapon. Is that what it says?
Yeah, it's a vicious weapon, so it's an additional 7. Hela 2 is a vicious crossbow.
I can't even imagine. I don't want to see Hela 3.
That is, that's legit. That's legit. Okay.
Sorry for ruining your combat.
No, you're fine. You're fine. All right. Is there anything else you can do?
No, I'm just going to stay there. Bonus action. I could have tried to go somewhere where I could hide, but I'll be out here.
Okay, cool. Corum, your turn.
Corum's going to run up her 30 feet. She's like 20 feet behind the Inquisitor that they ran into and like almost 60 feet away from the baddie. She's going to pull out two of her throwing needles, but I'm going to have disadvantage with them at this range. So, oh, I actually rolled pretty well. The first one is a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
For 7 piercing damage.
Okay, you notice it's not quite as effective against the incorporeal form of this creature.
I figured. I'm envisioning them like thunking into the tree right behind him.
Yep.
And the second one is a 19 to hit.
Yep, that'll hit.
For another 7 piercing damage.
Okay.
That will be my turn.
All right. At the initiative count of 20, we're going to have kind of some layery action type things. And ooh, one of those is you notice the body of the small child, Charity, begins to twitch and quiver and...
Called it.
You should have just punched that girl the first time you saw her.
I should have.
It wouldn't be in this mess.
And with a hand raising up, you see a specter rise up from the ground at an initiative count of 19, which means that he will go next.
Boo!
Wait, did he just come from the little girl?
Yes.
Oof.
Raised out of the body of the little girl. With that, this specter is going to... Let me check the movement speed. Oh, yeah. Can fly 50. This specter is going to fly all the way over to... Let me make sure I can make the distance.
This is what we deserve for saying sorry for ruining your combat.
So he flies all the way over to Miska and goes and makes an attack against Miska.
Okay.
A 12 to hit.
Nope, my AC is 16.
Dang. Okay, that's all
I
he can do.
I will use my reaction to move 15 feet away from it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I'll move north toward one of these buildings. So
perfect.
I'm still in range of it as well as the other, the bigger, badder ghost.
I like it. Lady Tirana's turn comes up, and she is going to use her action to try to turn the undead. And they have to make a DC 12 save, or they'll be turned. Oh, the wraith itself does not succeed on the roll.
Oh.
And will be turned.
Wait, which one's the wraith?
The one under the tree.
Okay.
And then the specter also failed its turn. Or its save on the turn the undead. So all of them that can hear have to make a wisdom saving throw. They both failed. And so for 1 minute, they are turned away until they take damage. Now, I think a turned creature has to spend its turn trying to move as far away as it can and can't willingly move within 30 feet of Paladin Tirana. They also can't take reactions, and for their actions, they can only dash or try to escape. So maybe this is going to be a lot faster of a fight than I had initially planned. But hey, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. Okay.
Well, now we're just going to chase it down as it flies 100 feet away each round.
Yeah. So at this point, it is the Wraith's turn. The Wraith will, and has to, because of being turned, try to move away, and it can move 60 feet. So it moves through the tree behind it using its incorporeal form.
Do I get any kind of opportunity attack?
Yeah, I think Dav, you will get an opportunity attack on this one. So go ahead and go for it.
All right, I'm going to try to slap this Wraith. So that is a 22 to slap.
That will hit.
Nice. Okay. That does 8 damage.
Nice. Okay.
That breaks the turn, too.
That does break the turn, so he probably just stays right put where he was.
Wait, I hope that was a good... Yeah, because we want him around, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter. Too late.
Yeah, we'll let the specter run away. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so since the Wraith attempted to run away and as part of its movement and it got attacked, it woke up from its turning, and I'm going to say that it still gets to make an attack. You guys might hate me for that, but Dav, this attack is coming for you.
Come at me, bro.
Dav deserves it.
Hey! He does.
16 to hit.
That'll hit, yeah.
Okay. 20 life drain. Your maximum hit point has been reduced by 20.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, that wasn't ideal, but sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, bro.
All right. And with that, we go back to the top of the round with Dav.
Dav's gonna slap this little guy. That is a 23 to slap for 8 damage.
All right. Tell me what it looks like.
Oh my gosh.
What?
47 damage, man. There's not.
This guy took so much of Dav's like life, like literally just sucked it out of him. His hair receded even further, which you didn't know was possible. Luckily, he is wearing his like shroud, so like you can't see him, and he's pissed. So he just all in. He doesn't even slap. He uses his full fist and he punches this ghost.
Fist?
Yeah.
Knuckles and everything?
Knuckles and everything.
Was it a double punch? Like two fists at the same time?
Well, oh my gosh. But one of them missed.
Oh, I love that. Great. Yeah. With that, this Wraith evaporates. Now, there is still a specter left. And while there is still this undead energy in the area, there will still be these kind of lair actions that happen at the count of 20. So just to let you guys know.
Okay.
With that, Dav, I guess, do you want to move or do anything else?
Oh, yeah, I guess. So that was...
You made one attack. You killed him on the first hit.
Oh, okay. Well, then, well, I can't do much anyway, so I will use another key, a KPI, to dash as my bonus action, and I will try to cruise on over to this other less Wraith specter.
Quick question, Sabrina. Did you remember to document your OKRs in your IDP?
You know, it is the end of Q1, so we are rolling into Q2.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Agreed.
All right, anything else you're going to do, Dav?
No, that's all Dav can do.
All right, Miska.
Miska's going to go ahead and stand still and take a steady aim.
Make it happen.
That's a 30-20 to hit.
That'll definitely hit.
For 12 piercing, 13 precision, 25 total.
All right, tell me what this looks like.
I shoot a crossbow bolt through this specter that is just about to start running away. And because of the positioning of Corum and Dav, as the crossbow bolt hits the specter, it disperses in this kind of mist, and the crossbow bolt goes dangerously close to both of them but passes between them.
Nice aim, bud.
I love it. Solid. And with that, the specter is destroyed as well. And we'll go ahead and cue victory music.
Woo!
But the kids are dead.
The kids are dead. So
the kids aren't all right.
The kids aren't all right.
Mission accomplished, guys. Let's go home. We finished.
You see, Tarana moves forward to the body of the fallen child, and she sees pinned to the tree a scrap of parchment with a language written on it. What languages do you guys all speak?
Abyssal, Celestial, Common, Draconic, and Elvish.
I speak the same, but with Dwarvish.
Common, Dwarvish, Goblin, and Thieves' Cant.
Okay.
Does it say anything about potatoes? Because then it's probably Thieves' Cant.
Corum, you can see that some of the language looks like Abyssal, and then some of it is something you don't recognize.
Okay.
And Tarana looks at this and tears it off of the tree and says, this is disturbing. We'll have to take this back to the camp as quickly as possible. What a terrible mess this all has been. I suppose we should leave now before anything else were to happen here. Should we burn the bodies or?
Yes, and perhaps these buildings.
Well, and what's that paper say?
Is everyone in this village dead? Maybe we should check for survivors first.
They're probably all dead.
Okay, but would that probably... I'm not going to burn buildings because they're probably dead.
I only got my grade 8. Can somebody read me this paper?
Corum's going to use her primal awareness to detect undead within a mile of her.
Teeming with undead.
Oh,
sure. I don't like this place. Let's just burn the whole village. There's undead everywhere.
That seems a bit extreme to me, but regardless, I think we should get out of here as quickly as we can.
I'd hate to have to fight these children. Let's burn their bodies and go.
Very well. It's probably the most noble thing we could do. May Iona take them.
Since it takes a while to like light a body on fire, especially a wet one in like this wet ground, I say we find the oldest, driest-looking wood house and just throw them in there and light the house on fire.
I dig it. Yeah, I mean, and they're kind of a combination of wood and stone houses, and so you think any of them probably would suit the purpose. So, yeah, you drag these bodies over to one of the homes, finding it abandoned. You toss the bodies in and then throw in some of the torches that are in some of the sconces in the town, and the house begins to catch blaze. Your senses, while they are attuned to the movement of the undead, Corum, you detect that they are closing in. And without much longer, you quickly vacate the area, head back down the road that you came from, and without even pausing to break the camp that you had previously set up, you continue on out of the woods to head back to the town of U Springs. What normally took a few days, you guys jog through and without rest are able to be back within a day and a half. And I'll say this, as we come back from this tale, the description of the parchment, the spells, what was pinned to the tree, you guys recall seeing the Novarians and some of the written inscriptions on their robes and recognize that there is some parallels there between, in some cases, the glyphs and the magic that are used with the Novarians and perhaps what was uncovered that day in Willow Bend.
Oh, man.
Oh, Magrim, are you saying that there's a relation between this story and the Novarians we've been fighting?
Are they vampires?
Are they stealing undead evil magic for their own use?
When I left
the Inquisition, they were engaging in certain activities that I considered most inappropriate and reprehensible. While it is difficult to say that this applies to all members of the Navorian sect, the ones that I encountered those days long ago in Burgaven, I would not be surprised if they learned a thing or two from what they found, or supposedly found, in that town of Willow Bend. And with that, we'll go ahead and leave it for tonight.
Nice.
That was so good.
Cool. That was really good.
That was so fun.
Well, thank you guys for enduring that with me. It's been so long since I've DM'd, so I felt a little bit rusty, but it definitely was a lot of fun.
You did great, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Dude, that was so fun.
With editing, nobody will even know you ever paused.
Yeah, I guess in the magic, movie magic, they'll never know just how long it took me to look things up or fix the roll 20. No, so that's nice.
And they'll think you had all the sound effects right on hand, ready to go.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. Well, we are so appreciative of all of our wonderful listeners for joining us on one of these tales, the Necro Purge of Luxania. And again, if you like what you hear, please be sure to drop us a like and comment. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already so you can follow us and stay up to date on all the episodes as they drop. And I feel like I can't use Paul's sign-off. So until next time, I hope you are swell and are able to just be cool with everybody.
I hope no Victorian ghost children visit you.
May there be no Victorian ghost children in your life.
Or if there are, be sure you have a dagger handy to throw it at them.
Or slap them. Amen. Whatever you gotta do.
Yeah, just slapping kids. Just I hope that your days are filled slapping kids.